League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Remember when we were recording that day and you couldn't stop looking at pictures of your nudes? And I had to text you to fucking look up from your phone?
I had just gotten them done and I was dealing with a broken heart.
If you ever want to distract a gay man, let him look at nudie pictures of himself.
Roll the music, Rick!
Hello, Joseph.
Hello, Yellow Marie Marsh. I'm back at this New York groove.
Hello, down bitches and new listeners. My name is Ellen Marsh, and across from me is a man who, like Narcissus, would fall into the lake staring at his own reflection. If you want to see what Joey is doing right now, you have to subscribe to us on YouTube. So that was a perfect intro to what happens behind the scenes because he's mocking me, pretending that he is talking. Welcome to I Think Not, the podcast where we just sit and shoot the shit. I don't know what we're doing here. What are you doing here? Life is good. That is Joey Taranto, the love of my actual life. Did I say your name?
What is happening? What are we doing, Joey? I don't know. Here we go. Like, you answered for me and you answered yourself and then you just kept going. I was like, okay, who needs me? You could be me.
Honestly, thank you so much for saying it so I didn't have to. Do you know what I mean? You're the hot one and I keep this shit show going. And that is not saying much because
you're the stunning one.
We go off the rails a lot. Who is in charge of us? Honestly,
Harris.
Harris is doing a horrible job.
Yeah.
Joey, how are you? Tell the people how you are. You're back in New York. You're in a New York state of mind. Concrete jungle where dreams are made of. Tell us.
Turns out it's not where dreams are made of. Mm-hmm. This is where nightmares come from. Okay. No, I love New York. New York will always have a part of my heart. It's just very weird to be here. And I was just saying to you, like, I want to go back to LA because I was just like getting into the groove and then to be removed from it. And I'm like, you're keeping me from doing what I gotta do. But I'm very grateful to be here. I'm grateful for all that life has to offer. And
kumbaya, my lord.
Listen, honey, when Cyndi Lauper comes a-calling, you say, I'm sorry, is this Lady Gaga? Who are you? Do you remember that story? When Lola asked Cyndi Lauper if she was Lady Gaga?
No, I don't. But that tracks.
We were at Boca de Baco for some... You know, we always had like parties for something, a release of whatever it was. And Lola met Cyndi for the first time. And I said, Lola, this is Cyndi Lauper. She is a very famous singer. And Lola looked up at her. She was probably like 7. And she was like, are you Lady Gaga? And Cyndi goes, no, I wish. With Cyndi, that could have gone either way. You never know. If she was in the mood for joking or she could have read my daughter for filth. Who knows?
Yeah.
But if you would like more of Joey and I doing, you know, doing this, we just released our Swamp Talk today. The first of every month, you get a Swamp Talk. And on the $5 level of our Patreon, you can get four bonus episodes a month. You can also get ad-free. You can join our quarterly painting party. We do movie night once a month. We do all kinds of fun stuff. If that interests you and fits into your budget, we would love to have you over on the Patreon. You can check us out at patreon.com/ithinknot because that is the name of our podcast.
We thought it all out. We planned it that way.
Okay. Over here on the general feed, we cover a new TV show a month, and I'm telling you, I am loving this new show. We are covering Deadly Influence. I really like this show. How are you liking it 2 episodes in?
It gives me anxiety, but they all do, so it's fine.
This sort of reminds me of Death by Fame.
Yes.
Which was another really great show. It's just, it's very empathetic. It's very classy. I like it a lot. But we're here on this train. We are on season 1, episode 2, TikTok Terror.
So we just had dinner, which means it's time for dessert. And where are we gonna get dessert? An ice cream shop.
Sonia was a burst of sunshine and positive energy. Man, it was infectious.
She was bold baby.
And funny, everyone felt like her friend because everyone was.
I can't talk right now. I'm doing a hot girl.
She was proud to be a Pakistani woman. She was very proud of how she modernized her culture.
She made a lot of women feel safe, seen, and heard. But being a Pakistani Muslim influencer online, it can get very toxic very quickly. Harassment, bullying, death threats. Possibility of online threats stepping over real life is actually very real.
There was only positives until she had that day where her own life was actually at risk.
All right, so we are going back today to the early moments of the social medias. Do you remember what came before Facebook, my friend? I know you do.
MySpace.
That's right, where the most stressful part of having a profile was who will be in your top eight.
And what song you are going to play. Gather around the campfire, children. Listen, we know our demographic. We don't have a lot of kids listening to us. But for the few that do, let me tell you a story about the first popular media site called MySpace. Oh, children, it paved the way for a whole generation of online interaction. In the early days of social media, children, your life was consumed by your top eight. You could make background music on your page. You had to be very careful with what. Do you remember how you had to pick the song on
remember.
Your background?
You're asking me to remember, of all people.
You smoked too much pot. And if you wanted a graphic on your screen, children, you had to code. That is right. HTML style. This is vintage social media, children. There was Tom. Who? Where did Tom go?
Tom was your friend, whether you liked it or not. Tom Anderson was one of the founders of MySpace and a creep because he never went away. But my question is, children, do you know what came before MySpace?
Don't insult me.
What was it, little girl?
Gather around the campfire. Okay.
We're gathered. Spill it.
Friendster.
That's right.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Where did it go? It evaporated.
I don't know. It all went away. And you know what? Thank God, because my MySpace was embarrassing. I think that my profile bio song was always like, it was a rotation of Tori Amos's saddest songs.
But you could change it. You could change it with your mood. You could change it with the weather. You could change. The only thing that was constant on MySpace was Tom. Where is that guy? He's probably hanging out with my dad somewhere.
Good luck to Tom. Well, a woman named Sidra Nasir is here.
My first introduction into the world of the internet was through Sanya reconfiguring my MySpace layouts. Her handle was Gemini Girl, and mine was Aries Girl.
And these two met at a New Year's Eve party when they were kids, and they became besties very quickly because, as Ellen and I like to do at parties where we know no one, we insert ourselves into conversations.
Constantly.
Let me tell you a quick real story. I'm sorry, my ADD is bad, so I'm going to do this real fast. I'm going to tell you a quick story about how that can go awry because my cousin's ex-husband, they were standing around. He was a talker. He loved to chat, and he was a know-it-all. And they were standing around talking about fellatio. And her ex-husband, being the know-it-all, walks up, and he only hears a snippet, doesn't know what they're talking about. He goes, yeah, I dabbled in a little bit of that. And they were like, excuse me? Do you know what we're talking about? And he did not know that he had just confessed to dabbling in fellatio.
Yeah, you don't know unless you dabble. You gotta dabble it a little.
Anyway, we are in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I've never been there. And we've never talked about Chattanooga on this podcast.
I think you're right. I think Chattanooga has somehow steered away from our clutches. You're welcome, Chattanooga. Here we are. And so there is a very big conservative Muslim population in Chattanooga. And the women that we're talking to are Pakistani. And she tells us a little bit about being a Pakistani woman.
We have two identities that are oftentimes in conflicts with each other. We tried to be achi-bachis, right? Which means good girls. Respect your elders, biggest thing. Dressing modestly. We don't bring shame to our families. We want to be assimilated into the American community, but our parents did not understand the culture. And so I think Sanya definitely struggled with that all her life.
And we have have a lot of talking heads. There's a lot of people that are very lovingly contributing to this story today. Someone named Grant tells us about his relationship with Sonia. They met their freshman year, and he was like a real artsy type, you know, theater nerd, music nerd, you know, the creative people. I was one of those people. And Sonia liked to practice photography on Grant, and he shows us some of the old pictures that she took. You know, he explained that she had sort of two different lives. She had her life at home, where she was expected to do and say certain things, but she was exposed to so much at school, like all our kids are, right? I mean,
yeah, first
they
generation.
Say like after 13, your influences are the people you hang around, your teachers, yeah. Not necessarily your parents. So I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I have empathy for her because I realized too, like as a kid being raised in a very conservative Christian home, I went to public school, you know, in elementary and then junior high and high school. I went to like a smaller Christian high school, but nobody there gave a shit about Jesus. We were terrible. And I did have two different personalities. I had church Joey and then I had school Joey, where I would say fuck and sang Mariah Carey.
Right. God forbid you sing Mariah Carey. I think that's with a lot of people that come from any kind of conservative home, whether that be religious or socially conservative, whatever. I mean, kids are gonna do kind of whatever they want, right? When they're out of the house. It was like me, I could only wear stud earrings and I changed into dangling earrings at school until Mrs. Zerth, that fucking narc, told my mom that I was wearing dangling earrings at school. I still never forgave that lady.
Let's find
her. Fuck off, Mrs. Zerth.
Let's find her and cuss her out. She's 102.
My mom was like, have you been wearing dangling earrings at school? You change your earrings at school. Can you believe that was like the worst thing that I did? I was such a nerd.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sonia had to follow certain traditions. She had a secret boyfriend freshman year that had to stay secret for a myriad of reasons.
Well, what was the main reason?
Well, the main reason is I don't think she was allowed to have a boyfriend. And also, he was not Muslim and he was not South Asian. So that was a taboo. It couldn't happen. And speaking of taboo, while Sonia was in college, her parents divorced. And it was very scandalous. It was tumultuous and it really affected the entire family. And best friend Cedra says this.
When it comes to South Asian family norms, we're really good at keeping the facade alive of a happy marriage. But when things go sour, they go down sour real quick.
I was also like, yep, okay, you taught me something. But I think that's everyone because...
Yeah, I definitely understand that part of the culture, but I think that encompasses many cultures. A lot of people do that. I was actually telling Rabia about this case today when we were recording about Damn Crime.
Never heard of it. I told
her the story about when my grandmother died. Travis and I had just decided to divorce and we've been separated and we decided to be divorced. And my mom said, can you not say anything to anyone? Can you guys wear your wedding rings? Like, he was going to come to the funeral. Of course he was going to come and pay his respects to my grandmother. But number one, my mom didn't want me to tell my grandmother as she was dying.
Yeah.
And she didn't want me to tell the family. I was like, I get it. What am I going to do? You know, like, it's just you keep up the facade. I think that's in a lot of cultures, a lot of households. I mean, look at Instagram. That shit's not real.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't make for a fun Instagram post to be like, going to grandma's funeral with my soon-to-be ex-husband, you know? I mean, I think that's hilarious, but I'm a sick fuck, so.
Hashtag, how'd we get here? it's a lot. I mean, listen, I've seen it happen with everyone, from Italian descent to Korean descent, even a couple Canadians, and they're the nicest people in the world. They apologize as soon as they walk into a room.
Am I Canadian?
Sorry. Now, Sonia's mother was the one who asked for the divorce. And because of that, according to best friend Cedra, she was really shunned by the community. And this made Sonia very protective of her mother, but it also strained her relationship with her father, who she viewed as very controlling.
Yeah, and in terms of her mom taking all of the responsibility from the community onto her, I feel like I want to harken back to a Maya Angelou quote that I often refer to.
Yeah.
I believe it is, fuck that.
I agree.
But I mean, truly, she got the shame. She got shunned. She got kind of slightly socially ostracized from the Muslim community, not only for getting a divorce, specifically for initiating a divorce.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk more about Muslim divorces a little bit later. But so, yeah, she harbored a lot of resentment towards her dad. And all of that bullshit about the woman needing to kind of like take the brunt of it, it reminds me of the Barbie monologue.
Mm, yeah.
It is literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like, we have to always be extraordinary. But somehow we're always doing it wrong. Like, you have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but also you have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because that's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also always be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, but if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women, because you're supposed to be a part of the sisterhood, but always stand out and always be grateful. But never forget that the system is rigged, so find a way to acknowledge that, but also always be grateful. You have to never get old, never be rude, never show off, never be selfish, never fall down, never fail, never show fear, never get out of line. It's too hard. It's too contradictory. And nobody gives you a medal or says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but also everything is your fault. I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single other woman tie herself into knots so that people will like us.
Do you remember that monologue, Joey?
I think I was asleep for it, but yes.
Now, I'm not saying that men don't experience contradictions and double standards. And I do believe that that monologue is somewhat of like feminist 101, but people still need to hear it. It made me very sad, especially when we know where this story is going.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like most immigrant communities, like most Pakistani communities, you have to become a doctor or a lawyer or an engineer, because those are careers that will make you more stable in life. Sania actually did do as her parents wished, and she went to UTC and pursued an education in psychology.
Yeah, and after she graduated, she was like, okay, well, this has been nice. Fuck this. You know what I want to do? Photography. And that makes me happy. And I really don't care what people have to say about that. I was like, kudos to you, because breaking from tradition is very hard and it takes a lot of bravery. So good for her.
You know, I have another podcast.
Uh-huh.
Did you? I don't know.
You mentioned it 2 minutes ago, literally.
Okay. It's called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. And you know, Rabia was in medical school.
Mm.
She did a year of medical school because that is what you are expected to do. You are expected to become a doctor or an engineer. And when she said she wanted to become a lawyer because that was her passion, her family was, a what?
Mm.
Whereas my family, all we are construction workers and loudmouths in my family, you know? But that's not what you do. Education is, you know, high on that list. It doesn't matter what you get an A. Why didn't you get an A+? I mean, I've heard Rabia say this so many times. It's just, it's a very different standard that we put on education and creative careers. That's not it. That's not what you do.
Yeah, it is really fascinating to me how every single family is different in what they put emphasis on. Mm-hmm. Because for me, it wasn't education. It wasn't about going to college. It wasn't about pursuing dreams or what's going to make me happy. The only thing that was stressed to me was being a Christian. That was it. Everything was around religion. And you know what Christianity doesn't do? It doesn't finance my gym addiction. Not at all. Hello, Jim. Yes, thank you, Jim, G-Y-M. I don't have a card to pay this month's dues, but what I have is the Holy Spirit. What will that get me? Nothing? Well, obviously, you are not a good Christian.
Joey!
Oh, what, God? The Holy Ghost, we haven't heard from you in a while.
Holy
what do you
Ghost
want?
Holy Ghost is here!
Don't try to drag me into your foolishness just because you are deeply gay and even deeper into your gay vanity.
Didn't God say he made us all in his image?
Are you calling Jesus vain?
I mean, he had a pretty fierce beard and like long luscious hair, and those robes were to die for.
Did you know that Jesus died for your sins, Joey? I'm the female Holy Ghost. I'm just slightly more of a nag than that other guy.
I'm getting tag teamed by Holy Ghost sisters. Everybody go away.
Holy Ghost threesome.
God. Thank you all for your contribution to this episode. I do think that it's pretty fascinating how every family is so different.
Yeah, my family was the same. My family emphasized really telling me what a piece of shit I was my whole life, which was fun and honestly made me really funny.
And your bangs are lovely.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So another friend of Sonia was a woman named Maru. She met online and she basically looked to Sonia as a woman who kind of lived by her own set of rules.
She made up her own rules of what it means to be a Muslim and an American. It's okay for her to make the religion what it means to her rather than what they say it should be.
Here's the thing. No, she wasn't a doctor. No, she wasn't an engineer. She was a brilliant photographer. There are people, I mean, when you look at Jenny Anderson's pictures, there is a photographer. She does backstage work on Broadway. I encourage you to go look at her stuff. She has a way of capturing moments.
Yeah, she does.
It's almost like the photograph is a moment in time.
Yeah.
They are in action or I can't describe it.
They're timeless.
It is truly a gift. It is a little frozen moment in time. I think the gift of photography is beautiful. And Sonia had that. And in 2016, her photography business blew up.
Yeah, I mean, she was out of town every weekend because she was booked and blessed, which is every artist's dream. And then she started a TikTok account and used that to expand her business. Her TikToks are great. And I can see why she has so many friends, because what strikes me immediately about her is that she's so open and likable.
Yeah.
And everybody is here. Everyone has lined up to come say something nice about this woman. Everyone.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. Her business is blowing up. And even though she is successful, she's kind of disappointing her parents in a way. And she's like, you know what? I went on my own creative path, which isn't the Pakistani way or the Muslim way. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find the perfect Pakistani Muslim man to make them happy, because at least I will fulfill that part of my obligation to my family. And again, I have talked to Rabia about what it means to share a religion with someone. It is very important to Rabia, like, to be with someone who is Muslim, who shares that. So she was like, okay, that's how I'm going to satiate my family, because I'm a, quote, kind of a disappointment. I'm not putting words in her mouth. This is sort of how she felt.
Sonia's attitude toward her future love was this. And my attitude toward men right now is a little different than Sonia's. It's more, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. I have no idea why I'm single.
We're fine.
Yeah.
So you know that secret boyfriend that Joey forgot to tell you the name of? His name was Robert.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. She loved Robert, but she knew that that wasn't forever for her.
Yeah.
She wanted to be a wife, a mother, have a home, have a full life that she could not keep compartmentalized, but she could not have that with Robert. So her relationship with Robert ended.
So she did what everybody does. She went on dating apps. Joey, I would rather sew my fucking head to the drapes. I would rather clean out a stranger's ear with my pinky.
Yeah.
I don't.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. I'm just, you got a little something.
You I would rather someone read all of our text messages on a Jumbotron in Times Square than fucking go on dating apps.
I know, it's the worst. I would much rather someone come up to me and talk to me in real life and be like, hey, I just wanted to come say hi and introduce myself because I think you're cute. Wonderful. Yeah. Talk to me.
Wonderful. Bend me over in the fucking frozen food section.
Jesus.
But she did have really specific things in mind. And on apps, you can specify all that stuff. She wanted a South Asian man. She wanted someone Muslim. So she went on Tinder.
And she meets 26-year-old Rahil on Tinder. And he was working towards becoming a physician's assistant. He was sweet and charming, also Pakistani, also Muslim. Here's the problem. They had to do long distance.
That shit is fucking hard.
I mean, not for me, but for the rest of you people.
I don't trust anyone enough to do long distance.
Yeah. I mean, just like, can you go somewhere and call me and then come and do funny things to my bits? I don't need you. I don't need you that.
Call me when you move here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fucking, it is. It is really hard. And it takes like planning, right? Especially if you're in like a time difference. You're like, okay, I'll call you at 8 o'clock. Wait, it's 10 o'clock your time. Like, yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot.
But she had moved to Dallas. He was in Atlanta. And they were long distance. So it was no real like intimacy of living with somebody.
Sonia and Rahil kept a relationship through weekend getaways. They often did camping trips.
And Sonia was thinking, yeah, this is it. I want to marry this guy. So during this dating period, Sonia's really leaning into social media. She's making more content that allows folks to get to know her. She loved love, mm-hmm. and she shot a lot of couples, which skyrocketed her popularity. And she also had an online blog about her life and her relationship. Now, I would like to take a second to rant, if that's okay.
Oh, baby. Yeah, I'll turn the mic off. Go ahead, honey.
I am not a fan of making content out of things that I love, because if you have relationship content, then you have a breakup, you're divorced, you have to make that content. I'm not judging, get your bag, you know, but there are certain things for me I do not want to make a job, things I really enjoy, like food. Having to eat a ton of calories every day so that I can put on mass, no thank you. It makes me resentful toward food. Sex, I love that there are folks out there who are on OnlyFans or sell their foot pictures for, you know, $25 a pop on Snapchat, or like sex work, all great. Celebrate your bodies. I don't want to make sex a job, because then it becomes this weird obligation to strangers. And then relationships. I don't want to have to make content and keep everyone up to date on our trip to Morocco sponsored by Adidas. I want to keep some things for myself. And I think I've seen people who are very successful at it. I don't think I would be.
You know, when I was with my ex, who you knew, social media wasn't monetized then,
mm-hmm.
but I was on social media and I was not conscious of, I was a bit more of a sharer than I am now. Like, yeah. I would do like stories, and I kind of looked at it like a little online diary, which is hilarious to look back at when you're in the throes of a deep depression. But I didn't realize how much I put our coupleness out there. It wasn't intentional. I was just genuinely sharing my life. Like, I posted about two things, like Lola doing funny shit because she was little, and me and him. But he was just part of my life. But man, the crazy thing is, when that dries up, the questions come. And I made a promise to myself that I would never share any online romance ever again. And now I'm going to tell you, I have been married for 5 years. And this has all been a ruse, and it has all been a facade. I am happily married, and I'm pregnant with twins.
Oh, God, help us.
But it is, it's a thing, because you put it out there, you don't even realize you're doing it.
What did I say to you after Nick and I broke up? Shut up.
Okay. I was like...
What did I say about, let me be more specific. What did I say about social media after Nick and I broke up?
I'm never putting anything on social media ever again.
Correct.
It's not intentional, right?
I didn't even realize I was doing it.
He's just part of your life. You're putting it out there. But then when that person disappears, your followers who love you and who are following your journey are like, hey, where's that guy? But anyway, she was sharing her life. And here's the thing. Social media is a fantastic tool for small businesses, especially when you're open and authentic with your audience. Listen, we don't have a huge social media following, you and I. We've got a good social media following, but they're following us. It's just us being being like, we're not curated. We're not fancy. We show the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
I think some people like that. Some people don't. It's not for them. But she was just a dear. It was like she was lovely. She was just open, honest. She was beautiful. And she shared her life.
She talked about how they supported one another. Raheel was very sweet to her. He would fly in and surprise her, would send her gifts and flowers on Valentine's Day.
They were dating for 5 years before he proposed to her, which is a very long time.
But you know what? I was like, great. Take your time. There is no rush. I mean, I'm not a woman. I've never bled from an orifice in the way that you do monthly. But like, I forget that there's this immense pressure to be like, my biological clock is ticking. I gotta have those kids. I gotta pump out 3 kids before I turn a certain age. But I do feel like less and less women are subscribing to that trope.
Absolutely. It's really interesting because Rabia's daughter is getting married. Mm. And she has taught me a lot about, there's a lot of pomp and circumstance in Pakistani weddings, traditions. They have to go, there's gold exchanged, there's gifts, the whole family comes. I love tradition. It's beautiful if you want it. And, you know, we see the wedding and all of the opulence of South Asian culture. The men are colorful. The men are over the top.
Oh, it is stunning.
Oh my God. The jewelry, the makeup. I love it all. But it is highly traditional.
Yeah. I hope you all can like look at pictures from this wedding day because people here are like pulled out all the stops. It is breathtaking.
But it looks like a magazine. I have another podcast called Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. And Daisy and I, they had an Indian wedding. I was like, can I appropriate all of that? It's so beautiful.
Stunning.
I love it.
Truly stunning.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, here's what you should know before we tell you this next portion about what happened on the wedding day. Raheel's family, they had issues with Sonia simply for the fact that her parents were divorced, right? And it was very out in the open. It was scandalous. These are things that we don't talk about. Also, Sonia's a photographer. She's not falling really into tradition. So they already had their reservations, right? Now, on the wedding day, Sonia's parents are both there, right? Mom and dad. They're not together, but they're there. Everything seems to be going great. And that is until Raheel and Sonia's father got into it. Something about a seating arrangement.
The conflict was over something what I thought was very minor. It was like a seating arrangement. He was telling her father to sit in a certain place. But I recalled her father speaking back to him that, you know, you're not supposed to be telling us, like, what to do.
Well, I was very confused because they were signing all these papers,
right?
And I was asking Rabia what that is. That's actually the marriage ceremony.
Got it.
So they don't, like, do the thing. The actual ceremony is, like, the signing of the papers, right? Mm. And the seating arrangement was how they were seated when they were signing the papers. Like, Raheel didn't want her dad on, like, the family couch or something because, like, it was a quote, broken family.
Got it.
I was really confused by that. So I looked it up and I talked to Rabia today. But whatever happened, there was a massive energy shift. Raheel wanted Sonia's dad to sit in a certain place. And then he has a sword, which Rabia told me is regional. That's not a Pakistani thing. That must have been a region from where they're from in Pakistan, because that's not traditional. But he had a sword, like, for the wedding. And this guy slams the sword on the table and, like, banged it and was like, I have a weapon. I will use it.
Yeah.
I was like, you really know how to clear a room, buddy. Everyone is terrified and confused, right?
Right. And this is after Sonia's father had said, I paid for this entire fucking thing. You can get the fuck out of here if you don't like it. And so it was basically a pissing contest at this point.
Right.
Now, for Raheel to do this to his literally brand new father-in-law, who also is an elder, it's a huge fucking deal. It is huge. huge.
That's another thing in, again, many cultures, Pakistani cultures. You, when we were little, it's like you don't talk back to your elders, right? And it is like tenfold. Like the elders have the utmost respect.
Absolutely.
So you're right. It was like not only new father-in-law, not only in front of hundreds, they had like 350 people at the wedding, and you're doing this to like an elder with a fucking weapon?
Listen, tradition is tradition. And when it comes to manners and honoring your elders, everybody has a different idea as to what that looks like. I remember there was a lady at my church. I don't remember her name. We'll just call her Margaret. And she was new to the church. And I said, "Hello, Miss Margaret. Nice to meet you." And she said, "You can just call me Margaret." And my mother said, "No, he may not."
My mom did that too.
Yeah.
Nope. My mom did that too. And it's so funny because I would be so uncomfortable if Lola's friends called me Mrs. Marsh. I would never think of calling one of my friends' moms by their first name, even when I'm invited to do
it. Never, 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 never. I don't even let my nieces and nephews call me Uncle Joey. I'm just Joey.
Oh, really? I mean, I like uncle and aunt, but if someone said Mrs. Marsh, I'd be like, my mom's not here.
That's
what are you talking about?
I'm going to start calling you that. All right. Anyway, on with the story, Mrs. Marsh.
Also, it's Miss. I'm married. I don't need the R. Thank you so much. I gave up the R.
Mrs. Marsh.
That event set the tone for the rest of the evening.
May Allah bless the earth with your progeny.
She's just like, I have to let it wash over me.
Sorry, I'm just like, I hated that day.
And poor Sonia, she's trying to not only manage her own family and their expectations, she's trying to manage Raheel's family and her new husband, all of their expectations. And this is just setting the stage for her marriage. This is how it's going to be. And she's like, the only thing I can do is let the moment wash over me, and I've got to just keep moving forward. So she smiles through it. What other choice does she have? And after that wedding, the newly married couple moves to Chicago while Raheel goes to medical school.
Well, first of all, I love Chicago.
I know you do, baby.
I love Chicago. It's a toddling town. November 7th, 2021, Sonia was on a podcast. And it was mostly talking about being a South Asian woman and having a career that was more creative, less analytical, less scientific. And this is what she had to say.
Support your child. Motivate them. If you want them to succeed, if you want them to be happy.
Sonia presented herself and her partner as a power couple, really.
Life was wonderful when I got married. I mean, I love my husband. He's actually in school for medicine, and he's going to be in it for a little bit. And so I was like, well, now I need to be the breadwinner. He's going to be providing, you know, in the future. But for the time being, let me be that support.
But here's the thing. Sonia was not happy in her life, in her marriage. Raheel wasn't around a lot. And he was very busy in school, which medical school, he was very busy with friends. But also, he talked down to her a lot, not just in a misogynistic way. He put down her career. And, you know, not everyone is lucky enough to have their career go in line with their passion.
Yep.
And she's so lucky, and she's living out her passion, and she's great at it. And he's belittling her for it. It's just that internalized idea that she should be doing something scientific. You know what this made me think of,
what?
Which was the opposite, is Dr. Shaw.
Mm.
So me and Joey, our Botox guy, we've become very, very, we love him. He loved, like,
the
we
best.
Just, we have a giggle. His wife, they're Indian. She was a doctor, and she wanted to be a photographer. And when they decided to move to the States, he was like, you can quit being a doctor. I'll support us. And I want you to be a photographer. He was literally the opposite of this man. And he said, you just don't do that in Indian culture. There are no photographers. So when we came here, I said, you don't have to be a doctor anymore. Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful. And that's love. The thing is that there are people out there, and I would imagine Raheel was maybe one of them, who can look at their own life and say, it's not my own. I did not choose this. And to have someone so close in proximity to you who has chosen a life of their own, even if she did stick to certain traditions, but to break away in that way and say, I'm going to choose to have my passion align with my career and to be successful at it. That is a huge feat. And so I do think that part of him talking down to her was also complete jealousy, sheer jealousy.
Totally. Absolutely.
And the truth is that she was killing it, y'all. She was nailing it on social media. Her popularity was skyrocketing. She was booked all the time, and she built that herself.
Yep.
So it was a real point of contention between them. And also, you have to understand, this is something I can relate to. Constantly trying to present, everything is perfect. We are perfect. It is so good. I think that when she talked about her life and presented them as like a power couple on that podcast, I think it was like dropping a wish into a well and being like, if I put this out there, maybe it could become this. You know?
Almost like manifesting. Yes. Yeah. So then one of her besties, Maru, was in Chicago.
And of course, we wanted to see her. But she told me she wouldn't be able to because she had some family stuff going on. And that was kind of a red flag for me because she would tell me what it was. I just knew that there was something that she wasn't telling me.
They started to notice, like, in their friend group that Sonia was distancing herself. And then they started to notice that her social media started to kind of dry up. She wasn't posting as much until she finally kind of, like, went off the grid for a little while.
All of that was very unlike her. And you know, here's the thing. It's hard enough keeping up with your own expectations, setting goals for yourself, but to try to manage your husband's expectations for you, your in-laws' expectations, your own family's expectations, and trying to keep up this facade that it's all perfect, I would go bye-bye too.
Yeah.
And so what the fuck was going on? Nobody knew, because at this point, she just disappeared. She went off the grid without a whisper, something that Ellen and I could never do.
If you don't see a story from me in 6 hours, be like, that bitch okay? Oh, you're sleeping? Okay. Sleeping. I got you.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So now it's December 7th, 2021, and honestly, there's no really easy way to say this. Raheel attempts to die by suicide.
Yeah.
And they lived on the 28th floor. You know, Chicago has all those big high rises, and he tried to jump. Not only that, he tried to take Sonia with him. And I don't know the specifics. I don't need to know the specifics, but it was an attempt.
She, like, divulges everything to me. I was literally in shock. Her in-laws were refusing to look at the fact that Raheel had a serious problem. She's like, my mom just didn't want anyone to know. I honestly didn't know what to do.
This is really sad and really disappointing. But her mom said, you just
pull it together and keep going.
Keep a smile on that face and don't tell anyone. And this is where a lot of the conversation comes into play about the mental health in South Asian communities. And, you know, I only know this. Obviously, Rabia is my dear friend, and I have learned so much about her culture and her religion. But I told her that we would give her a call, and I think it would be better suited if she talked a little bit about that. So
yeah.
Should we give her a call, Joey?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, my love.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, look at that sexy voice. I like how you turn that sexy voice on for me when I call.
I lower the register, yeah.
Okay, there it is. So we're talking about that case that I mentioned to you today, and we have a couple questions. Joey is here. Say hi to Joey.
Okay, hi, Joey. I love you. How are you?
Daddy loves you.
Okay. So I have 2 questions for you because, you know, what I know about Pakistani culture and Muslim culture is anything that I've learned from you. What are you doing? Are you opening a wrapper?
Oh, I'll put it down. Never mind.
Oh, my God, woman.
I can't believe there also Jurassic Park is playing in the background. Listen, life is chaotic in my house. But I'm here for you, Ellen.
Oh, my God. All right. So this is something I don't want to speak to. And so I just thought if you could weigh in. The case that we're covering is the husband attempted to die by suicide and take her with him, essentially. And the family was like, don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. And I was wondering if you could speak to sort of the stigma or how South Asian cultures deal with mental health and mental health struggles.
There's no pathology necessarily that's particular to that society on this issue. I mean, there's certain subjects that are taboo, like in every culture, right? It has taken a long time for people in the West to be like, maybe we should talk about sexual abuse in the Catholic Church instead of hiding. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's kind of an evolution for different societies at different stages. So it's very similar. So, but we're talking about maybe they're 30 years behind, right? Or 40 right. years behind. But yeah, sexual abuse happens in families. Don't talk about it. And that's very common here. Domestic violence happens. Don't talk about it. I remember about 15 years ago, I wanted to have a talk on domestic violence in our local mosque. And the imam's like, nope, we don't talk about those things publicly. Those are private issues. If families have issues, they come to me. We talk it private. We talk right. about it privately. And I was horrified because, you know, I'm a lawyer. I'm like, this stuff is happening right. day and night. But it's going to be a generational thing where it's going to take a few generations of people with more awareness, more understanding about how cycles of abuse happen, which is also fairly new knowledge in this country too. You know what I mean? And so it's like most cultures, which have always historically been like, no, we don't talk about our yeah. dirty laundry. We do not air our dirty laundry.
Right. Do you think there is more of a stigma in Pakistani culture or in Muslim culture about being honest and open about struggling with mental health? I mean, I agree with you. I think it's a cultural thing. It's like Italians, we don't talk about it. We don't talk about our business. Like, do you think that it is stifling, especially yeah. to like women? Like, you don't speak about it. You don't talk about your divorce. You don't talk about your family problems.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is like, okay, I can speak to Pakistani culture. I cannot speak to Muslim culture because Muslim culture looks like Morocco and Africa and China.
Right.
It looks, Muslims are all over the world and they look like different things and they have completely different cultures. But in Pakistani culture, understanding that like mental health requires professional support and addressing beyond just being patient and praying it away and all that
right.
stuff. I mean, no, we are still a couple of decades behind on that issue. And it's not even so much that there's a resistance to it. There's just no awareness of it.
Right.
And I can almost liken it to, for example, you know, I do innocence work and I got calls from Indonesia one time from this lawyer in Indonesia who's like, you know, innocence is not a thing outside of North America. Like, the concept of innocence and an innocence movement doesn't exist anywhere else in the world. Would you be willing to do some work like globally on it? I'm like, what? I didn't even realize
right.
that it didn't even exist. Like, there's no awareness. And so that's really the bigger issue, is that there is no awareness. People think if somebody's struggling with mental health issues, it's situational, which sometimes it is, obviously. But there just isn't a fundamental understanding yet of like trauma and,
right.
and all the things that, which I didn't even know about 15 years ago, right? Like, I have also learned in my adulthood.
Yeah, we all have. We didn't talk about that yeah. shit when we were kids. None of us did. We didn't talk about yeah. trauma. We didn't talk about feelings. We didn't talk about anxiety.
Yeah. For it.
Yeah.
We didn't have the words for it, right? So this is all kind of new, and the learning curve is pretty flat right now because of social media. So younger generations, and I noticed this when I was in Pakistan, they're speaking the language that we're used to hear because
right.
they share it on social media.
Right.
So they talk about microaggressions and this and that, and like, I'm being triggered. I mean, they use the same language because they're connected globally. But my parents, like, you know, that generation, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
Just be patient and suck it up.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and sadness happens. People's lives suck. People are starving in China. It's just the old school mentality.
Yeah. No, totally. All right. I have yeah. one more question because this is another topic that that they talked about. Did you feel any shame or did you feel shunned in any way when you got a divorce? Did you feel that from your community or anyone like in your at the mosque or like did you feel that?
I felt shame, but it was internalized. And, you know, my mother, and this is my first divorce I'm talking about. And that was a long time. And this was back, like, now divorce is much more common because you've got another whole couple of generations gone through and lived, grown up in this country. And we're just like everybody else. But 20 odd years ago when I got divorced, I was kind of a pioneer in our community on that. And so my mom for 3 years didn't even tell anybody that I was divorced. I had to finally start telling people. She's like, have some shame. I'm like, that's the truth. I'm a single mom. I can't. And also, how am I supposed to get remarried if I don't tell people that I'm divorced?
So she didn't tell anyone, like she didn't tell anyone like in the community or she didn't tell family?
She didn't just not tell. She actually lied and said, oh, no, Robbie is just here in our house because she's doing some work in the area. Robbie and her daughter are just living with, because I lived with my parents for like a year and a half after my divorce.
Yeah, I knew that. So yeah.
She just straight up lied. You know, but the shame was internalized. When I told people, like, honestly, nobody cared.
Right.
I mean, that's how it usually is. You know, shame on every subject dies in the light. This is how shame works. And thank you, Brene Brown, for that. But Now I'm going through my second divorce. And you know what? I'm just telling to people straight to their face. Everybody in my family, everybody in my community, deal with it. When you aren't paying my bills, I don't care. The stigma and shame is still there for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I think that's true. And because, you know, it's like the, oh, did I fail? But nobody knows what you go through. And right. So I'm too old for that shit. It doesn't matter.
Have you told everyone in your community our news?
But here's the thing. I just got engaged to my college best friend Anu a couple of weeks ago.
What? We were supposed to go get married and live on a farm.
she gave me a diamond ring. She gave me a band.
Hot.
Like a wedding band. I kid you not.
Okay, I'm going to message Anu because this is some fucked up shit right here.
she cut in front of I'm sorry. I'm just taking
You are fickle, Rabia Elizabeth. You are a fucking fickle franny.
You didn't put a ring on it, did you?
No, I just sent you a facial. Thank you for being my Pakistani muse. And, I've heard so many stories from you, but I didn't really, you know, want to speak on it and say, like, Rabia says, even though that's the way I live my life.
I don't know a lot about the story. I'm going to take a look into this. But, I understand, like, the husband was lashing out for a lot of the shame of divorce, some kind of honor-killing type of stuff. And that kind of stuff does happen. But, you know, when it comes to a place like South Asia, India, Pakistan, it's not one culture. It is thousands of cultures, and every family operates differently and every region operates differently. So I've said to you before, we are city people. I've never seen a village in my life.
Right.
Village people will look at these issues very differently than city people will. City people are like, oh, well, you got divorced, get a job, support yourself.
And honestly, if we're being honest, the village people only had that one hit, you know?
Yeah.
I love you, my brown sister.
I love you too, and I love educating you, educating the white folk in my life.
Wait, you always tell all the people why you make fun of me whenever I ask too many questions.
Ellen's like, "What is the hidden meaning in the henna designs?" Nothing, girl. They're just flowers. They're just paisleys and flowers. It means nothing. What does that ring in your nose mean, that little piercing? Not a thing. I like to look pretty. But you know what? It is so much fun to actually make up stuff.
You should start doing that every time I ask you a cultural question, because I ask you so many questions. You're like, girl, we just like the fucking earrings. There's no reason.
Well, just so you know, I'm willing to represent the entire homosexual community if you ever have questions about gays.
I have so many questions. We'll circle back to this.
Call me. We'll talk. Back.
All right, I love you, Rabia.
All right, love you.
Love you.
I think she truly felt conflicted and isolated during that time. Like, how did this happen? How did I contribute to that? And essentially, she gave this man the benefit of the doubt.
Now, here's the thing. Raheel's own mother was there to stop Raheel from jumping and taking Sonia with him. So she saw firsthand what was happening, that this man was clearly having a mental break, that Sonia was in duress. Like, she saw all of it and also played it down. You've got nothing to worry about. You're overreacting. You're being ridiculous. You don't need to tell anyone. You don't need to talk to anyone. We got you out of the situation. He's fine. It'll all be fine. That is a cycle that is extremely unsettling.
But, you know, like Rabia said, it is generational.
Yeah.
My mom says that to me sometimes. She's like, oh, honey, just go lay down. Oh, honey, just go have some water.
Yeah.
It is. And I get it, but like, we're talking about suicide. Like, we're not talking that he missed a car payment.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I had to explain to my mother what it means to invalidate someone's feelings and how she didn't realize this. And I said this lovingly because, you know, my mom's a boomer. She comes from the walk it off generation. But I had to explain to her that when she says, oh, it'll be fine, or, well, you should just do this, you are minimizing my experience and just telling me that it's not that serious. Like, you're invalidating me. And it takes time. But, you know, like, that generation does not know the words.
Mm-hmm.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
So Sonia was really struggling because, to be honest, everyone was gaslighting her. Raheel's family, her own family, Raheel himself. So eventually, who does she turn to? Her people, her chosen family.
Yeah. Well, Raheel, in addition to hiding this random rage that he had locked up inside him, as well as some mental health issues that he had.
Something else that came out was his age, that he had lied. He was actually in his mid-30s. That, for her, was a huge turning point as well, because she actually doesn't know who the hell she married.
And so, again, she's, like, telling her friends, because her family is perfectly willing to ignore all of these red flags. I mean, same. Like, you know, my ability to ignore red flags, it's actually quite great.
Same.
Listen, I used to think those bulls were crazy for chasing the red flags, but here I am.
And, you know, listen, I just want to say this about Raheel at this time too, right? Raheel was not addressing his mental health issues. His family was also gaslighting him, telling him, you're fine. You just need
to finish medical school. You're just stressed out about medical school.
And you know what? You're going to be perfect. You're going to get perfect grades. You're going to have the perfect marriage. It's a lot. And what I want to say is, like, look, we all make mistakes. We all fuck up. We all miss the mark at times. That is hard enough. The only thing harder is not having the space to fuck up, to say, yeah, I didn't get it right, but I know I will be met with grace and understanding and hopefully given an opportunity to fix it. Raheel definitely didn't have that. And the people that Sonia did have that gave her that grace were slowly being ostracized because of her situation. And I think she had a real moment of clarity where she was like, this is not my life. This is not the life that I've chosen. I have people who will support me and love me and see me. And this man is obviously lying. For whatever reason, I'm in a bad situation. And when she turned to her friends, they were like, we got you.
Listen, honey, Maru was on the next plane. A down bitch doesn't ask you if you need something. A down bitch shows up. A down bitch doesn't care what time it is. If you need them, they are knocking at your fucking door. That is what being a down bitch is. Not saying, what can I do to help you? Let me know if you need anything. A down bitch shows up with a fucking empty suitcase and is like, we're packing up and you're coming home with me. And that's exactly what Maru did. I get chills thinking about it.
I flew from New York to Chicago and arrived at her apartment. Raheel had no idea that I was coming. And she packed a small bag and she brought her camera. Like her baby.
And they escaped.
Yep.
They literally escaped. They were running. They didn't know where he was. He's unpredictable. They're scared. The adrenaline is pumping and their nerves were fueled on that adrenaline, right? So she didn't feel like she could breathe until she was on that plane to New York, safe with Maru.
Well, the thing is that Raheel was unpredictable, right? He already tried to die by suicide. He tried to kill her while doing it. And meanwhile, the entire family is like, don't tell anyone. I mean, you are putting duct tape on a broken water pipe. Now shit is leaking and I'm standing in a puddle. And this metaphor means something somewhere, but I stand by it.
Listen, honey, we say so many words, they can't all make sense. Okay, we're up here trying our best, trying to string sentences together to make monologues.
Honestly, I am so happy that Sonia had those friends because what they did was validate her feelings and reassured her that what was happening was not normal and was not healthy and that it was okay to be upset and scared. And
was not her fault.
And it was not her fault. And Sonia finally found the words that she'd been waiting to find, which was, I'm getting a divorce.
Yeah. And we see this video diary that she posted.
I'm like, you know, maybe I need to stop, like, thinking. I need to stop, like, considering other people's viewpoints and, like, really just, like, listen to my intuition, my heart, and, like, what that's telling me.
Your gut will never lie.
That mental clutter, you know, because your brain and your body are woven together. They are connected, right? Like we have these physical responses to what we're feeling emotionally, right? You know, when you feel a certain way mentally, like you get flushed, your stomach gets upset, you feel dizzy. And she was feeling all of those things. It was not right. And she knew it. And everyone in her life, except for her friends, were like, stick it out. You're fine. He just needs to get through medical school. But she finally said the words. And what did Raheel do? Raheel goes running back to his mama.
Yep. He moved back in with his mother. And Sonia goes back to the Chicago apartment that is just for her now, right? And of course, after the breakup, all of the normal questions pop up. Is this my fault? Did I try hard enough? Am I a failure? What are people saying? What are people thinking? I still have flashes of that. It's very hard to emancipate yourself from that, especially if you grew up in an environment where image is everything. And I try to tell myself every single day, focus on what you can control. I can't control what people are going to say about me or what they're going to think about me or if they like me. The only thing I can do is control myself. Am I going to let all of these questions and all of these opinions or the opinions I have told myself that people have, am I going to let that dictate the rest of my life? Or am I just going to say, fuck it, two tears in a bucket, motherfuck it, and move forward? That's the only thing you can do. And Sonia really leaned into that. And as I was watching this episode, I literally found myself in my head going, yeah, girl, go. You got this.
Yeah.
Sonia had turned to her online community and shared the realities of what she was going through. A lot of people connected with her. In the Western culture, it's quite normalized to talk about your own issues. But in Pakistani culture, it's not. So for Sonia to break these barriers and say, no, I am going to speak on this because there are other women who go through this, was quite incredible.
And so she actually turned to social media, not only for her business, but she started sharing her struggles of marriage, of divorce, of the expectation of being a South Asian woman in this time, in this particular
community.
Yeah. And women found solace in her words and in her journey. And they connected with her because of what she was feeling in the moment. And they connected with her embarrassment and her shame surrounding divorce, specifically being a Pakistani woman. And like Rabia said, this isn't what you do. You don't talk about your private life on social media. Sonia was revolutionary. This was unheard of in her culture. She shared the ugly parts of divorce. And, you know, I've said this before because I don't believe there's any true amicable divorce. Because if you're truly amicable, why would you be getting a divorce? But it's very isolating. It's like processing a death. Even when it's right, it's very scary and there's no rules. And here's the thing, whatever promises you made to each other as partner, that no longer exists. It is isolating. You feel alone, even though you know hundreds of thousands of people have divorced, people that you know. My mom got divorced. But here's the thing, Sonia, in sharing her journey and sharing her feelings in a very gritty, very real way, she felt like she was making a difference in people's life. Yeah. She was making other people feel supported and heard
and seen.
And in that time, she was rediscovering herself.
Yeah.
And finding strength that she never knew that she had. And it was so empowering. And, you know, I say empowering to women because it did have like a female message.
Sure.
But she was using this space, this TikTok and such, as like an online diary. Didn't you feel like you connected with her just from watching her videos?
Oh, absolutely. It was cathartic. I could see that it was cathartic and part of the process. You know, it was interesting when Rabia said, like, being Pakistani or even being Muslim, like, it's regional. Every region has something different. But like in her community, she was making a difference. And all these people are like, yes, talk about the thing. Talk about the thing. And I connect with her because there was a video of her. You know, I have a hard time when people post videos of them crying because I'm sort of like, are you doing, do we need to see that? But I saw this video and she is just sobbing and I can see that she is crying for all of it. And it's very vulnerable. And the caption says, no one tells you how hard it is to lose your best friend, your love, and the future you dreamed of together when you go through a divorce. And I read that as like divorce, breakup, whatever. And it doesn't matter what religion, creed, background you are, a breakup, an ending to a relationship where you just saw the whole world with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of grief that never really goes away. I literally was just having a conversation with you saying like, when do I stop loving my ex? When does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And my therapist says all the time, you don't. It's something you learn to live with, and that it becomes something different and compartmentalizes. But my point being is that just seeing someone else, it's so easy to get caught up in your own shit that you forget there are other people who are going through exactly what I'm going through, and it makes me feel less alone and less fucking crazy.
Absolutely. There were so many people, even just like listening to podcasts, like podcasts about like breakup and divorce and everything. I always laugh because you and I are such like processors and feelers. And Joey and I have a best friend, one of our best friends, who's like, you need to let it go. You just need to let it go. I'm like, actually, I'm taking it to the grave. Thank you so much. I appreciate your feedback.
The most New England, just like walk it off. It's fine.
And you and I are like talking through shit, processing. You need to let it go. I'm good. I'll let it go in hell. Thank you.
I mean, but it's really crazy with Sonia's posts because I'd never heard of her. And they showed us like a ton of her clips from her TikToks. And I saw myself. I'm not Pakistani. I'm not South Asian. I'm not a woman. I'm not any of those things. But whatever she did, I was like, this resonates with me. And I see myself in her. That was a gift. And it makes sense why she had such a reach. So much so that people were in her DMs telling her, please don't stop doing this thing. It means so much to me because it's a movement now.
Yeah.
But going viral online is a double-edged sword. She faced a lot of harassment and a lot of bullying from all over.
But this is the internet. Along with all the support and love comes the evil. Yeah. She was bullied online. You're a prostitute. You deserve to suffer. What happened to death do you part? And she was getting death threats. Now, listen, this is what always makes me laugh about social media. People who post those trolling and hateful comments that say horrible things online, bitch, you'd never say that to my face.
Nope.
The internet provides this protection that does not exist in real life.
Yeah.
Substantiated research will show that articles written by women, videos by women attract more anger and abuse and trolling than those written by men, regardless about what it's about. But I love the protection of confidentiality that the internet provides. It's really, really great. So the hate keeps coming. Her family sees these TikToks. Her family is upset. The Muslim community is upset. She's like, deuces, may I suggest you all fucking die mad about it? She's like, whatever, hate me, bring it on. And she's moving on with her life because not only is she helping so many people, this is part of her healing too. And she deserves that.
It absolutely is. You know, it's so funny because men, and I don't care what religion you are, I don't care what your creed is, men are used to being at the top of the food chain. Especially white men, right? And when they don't want those women getting around buzzing together, because if you're not being subservient, if you're not being quiet, if you're not stuck in the kitchen, if you're not submitting to your husband, then y'all are going to get together and you're going to overthrow us.
Yeah.
Because even the most basic of men can feel like fucking Superman because that's how we've set up the system.
Yep. And she knew she was giving voice to so many women who felt like they didn't have one.
Yeah.
And so she kept going and she kept doing it. And Gabriella Bordeaux is here and she explains that Sonia knew the power and the strength behind her social media.
Yeah.
And, you know, TikTok, Instagram, it can really change your life. It turns ordinary people into celebrities, essentially. And, you know, because social media isn't what it was back when we were talking about MySpace, it's no longer a way to communicate with people or meet new friends.
No.
It's there for advertising, marketing, promoting. And Sonia used all of this to her advantage. And now Gabriella tells us about this sweet little sisterhood that they formed.
I met Sonia at a tea shop in Chattanooga, early 2019. We just instantly hit it off. She didn't live in Chattanooga at the time, so we kept tabs on one another. It wasn't until after Raheel, early 2022, that we really like fell in love with each other. Soulmate, soul sister, everything, best friend, twin flame, whatever you wanna call all that.
And Gabriella went with Sonia to get her very first tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
It was Roman numeral for 28, and 28 was a big thing for Sonia. It was, she lived on the 28th floor in that Chicago high rise. She was also 28 years old when she decided to walk away from her marriage and start a new life. It was meaningful to her.
Yeah.
And it's also that time that Sonia got back in touch with Robert, her old boyfriend. And she's like, you know what? I don't need to be in Chicago. She was in Chicago because Raheel was going to medical school there. So she's like, I'm going to move back to Chattanooga. And then she was like, Gabriella's like, well, if you're moving to Chattanooga, let's be bestie roommates. And they made plans and they were all excited. And Sonia even bought Gabriella's plane ticket to come out to Chicago, help her gather her things, and then drive back to Chattanooga and sort of have this fun little road trip. And they were going to start their new life together. And she felt great with who she was. She was truly like reborn.
Empowered.
Yeah.
So on July 18th, 2022, Gabriella flies to Chicago and they're going to follow through with the plan. So she texts Gabriella when she lands. She's like, hey, what platform do I need to be on? I'm taking the train. No response. And so she tries texting her again. She's like, you there? Tries calling. No answer. And Gabriella's like, something is wrong. Something is very wrong. And so then Gabriella gets a call on Instagram, right? Which I forget is even a feature. So when it happens, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. Can you see me? What's happening here? It's in the machine.
Literally. And so it's someone that she doesn't really know, but she answers it. And this person says, hi, I know that you and Sonia were supposed to meet up today, and I'm really freaked out. I want you to know I'm sorry to hear about Sonia. And she's like, what about Sonia? And before she can even finish it, Sonia's father is calling Gabriella.
I'd never seen her family. I never talked to them. He said something to me like she's gone. In my mind, I already knew what happened.
And really, it's one of those moments where you kind of like piece everything together. And then Sonia's mom calls Gabriella. She's hysterical crying. She can't get herself together. And Sonia's brother gets on the phone and actually tells Gabriella what happened. And even though she knew, I so empathized with what she said, where it's like, this is a mistake. This isn't true. Yeah. This is a mistake. It's like, you know, denial, right? No, this isn't happening. Now, the details are, of course, fuzzy, but seeing as though she has such an online presence, she has so many friends all over the country, word is kind of traveling to her friends.
One of her friends sends me a message and I ask, is Sonia all right? She says, no. And then I ask her, is Sonia alive? She says, no. Raheel shot her and then shot himself.
And we sort of hear all of the friends that are processing this information, and you can hear the absolute trauma in their voices. So we find out exactly what happened, or at least all that the family and friends can piece together.
Yeah. So it turns out that Raheel had driven 700 miles plus from Georgia to Chicago. At this point, he and Sonia had been separated for 6 months, and he actually was not allowed to go to that apartment.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to get into the apartment building because he scheduled a tour of a different apartment in that same building with a real estate agent. When the tour was over, Raheel says, oh, thank you. I have a friend who lives in the building. I'm just going to go say hi. Real estate agent. Okay, no problem. So at 11 a.m., Raheel knocks on Sonia's door. And what happened after this is just speculation, right? The theory is that Raheel knocked on the door and said, hey, I have your wedding dress if you want it. And when she opened the door, he immediately shot Sonia. Now, the police had been called to Sonia's apartment by Raheel's family after he had gone missing for a day and a night, right? So this was supposed to be a welfare check.
Right.
So when the police arrive and knock on the door and then they hear a gunshot, they have no idea what they're walking into. And that's when they break into the apartment.
And the police find both Sonia and Raheel unresponsive, and they actually took Raheel to the hospital, and when he arrived at the hospital, he was DOA, and that was it. He was gone, and she was gone, and she was literally moving that day. And he left some bullshit suicide note, and one of the friends reads it to us.
I told her I couldn't live without her and had the gun pointed to my head, but she tried to take it away from me, and it went off.
The suicide note was a complete fake.
I can't live with myself knowing me being here caused this accident. I am so sorry. No accountability.
And nobody believes that.
Yeah.
Not any of their friends. She was living her life. She was thriving. She was moving on. She was moving on without him. And it was that tale as old as time. If I can't have her, nobody will.
It's so infuriating because she was hours away.
Yeah.
Of just starting that next chapter. Not even the next chapter. A whole new book.
Yep.
Where she was in charge. She didn't care about outside influences anymore. She didn't care about what people thought. Because the point for her was, I have found a way to honor my culture, my religion, my tradition, my own way. And still figure it all out. And she gets to implement it now. Mm-hmm. And in a moment, this man robs her of it. For whatever reason. And what's really, really upsetting is that throughout all of this, a lot of Sonia's community, including her family, didn't say a fucking word.
Yeah. And her inner circle of Muslims and South Asians were all very silent. It was deafening. And there were some awful people online trying to justify what Raheel did, saying things on TikTok videos like, people shouldn't use social media to push others over the edge. Private lives should stay private. She's in hell. The victim blaming actually made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. And here's what. This man, most definitely, very likely, I can't diagnose, was probably in a mental health crisis. And it probably was ignored for many years.
Yeah.
That doesn't justify murder.
No.
And her death was the impetus for more South Asian women to speak out about the lack of support that they have received. And Sonia was a warrior. She was brave, and she was a voice to women who felt like they didn't have one. She was brilliant. She was beautiful. She was compassionate. And I gotta say, I assume you felt the same. She was so loved.
So loved.
Her friends were an army.
Yep.
Of people behind her.
Let me tell you something. There is something to be said for finding your people who will match the loyalty that you display. And it was very clear that these folks were all not just galvanized behind her, but each other.
Yeah.
And it was amazing because it didn't matter what facets of her community or family members didn't say, or people who were like, this is her fault. There were other people who decided to pick up the torch and carry it for Sonia because they're like, no, we're not going back. We're going to keep this going. And it's really kind of amazing to watch how many people
were
inspired to speak out and to continue fighting. And yeah, it is very clear she had an army of like lovers. I don't even know a better way to say it. Just lovers, people who loved her.
All of her closest friends came to this idea of getting the exact same tattoo in the exact same spot for the exact same reason.
28 is the year Sonia's life changed. She never wanted to forget it because she overcame it.
And we see this montage of all of her friends getting the same 28 Roman numeral tattoo on their arm in memory of her. And it was beautiful. And they're all speaking about her and showing their tattoos that they have. It was really, really beautiful moment. And, you know, obviously we're talking about a Muslim community, a South Asian community, but domestic violence is a problem in all communities. Yeah. It doesn't discriminate, but it is masked in silence in a lot of religious communities. Mm-hmm. And it is a hard topic to talk about. It's challenging. It's uncomfortable. And murder and all these stories we tell are very sad. But for someone who was trying to take their pain and advocate for other people to be heard, what's the opposite of poetic? It's tragic. It's Shakespearean.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This one got me good. If you or someone you know is suffering from domestic violence, please contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. 1-800-799-7233. And her family tried to sue the building for allowing Raheel to get in when he was specifically, there was a picture,
sure.
It was specifically said to not let him in. And I read that article and I wasn't sure if I was going to share this, But part of me felt very angry at her family because I was like, yeah, well, the building didn't protect her, but...
Neither did you.
Neither did you.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because they lost their child. They lost their little girl, but you ignored it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you deserve any of that pain or any of that trauma. It hit me. It felt very strange.
Hindsight is always 20/20.
Say something funny.
Well, I don't have anything funny to say. But you know what? I always go back to music because there's so much power in music. And it really is a through line for all of us and it connects us. And the whole time I watched this episode, I was thinking about Sarah Bareilles' Brave. And this chorus is for you, Sonia, wherever you are, may you rest in peace.
If you say what you want to say and let the words come out, honestly, honestly, I'll be brave.
It's a beautiful song, but really, did it have to be that high, Sarah? Did it?
It's okay, I'm a soprano. Bow. Down, bitches, I do love this show. I did not know this story, neither did Rabia when I told it, but I don't know, do something beautiful. Take a picture of something beautiful today in honor of Sonia and, what a story.
Yeah.
Please don't forget to follow us, subscribe to us on YouTube. Also, if you want to catch our Patreon with all the bonus stuff we got going on there, we have Gypsy Rose. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Think Not Pod and join our Facebook group.
It is called the I Think Not Podcast Facebook discussion group. You can keep up with our announcements, with merch, with our community. If you want to talk about an episode, talk about a story, talk about what's going on in your life, Small Business Saturdays, whatever it is, it's a great way to just connect with the community, and we love seeing you there.
We do love seeing you. Until then, I love you, Joey.
I love you, Taylor Marsh, and I love all you DBs.
I love you, dumb bitches. Bye.
Sarah Bareilles, you sing too high.
1, 2, 3.
What the fuck was that? 1, 2, 3.
Pull the lever, crank. Wrong lever.
What's the...
Blowjob.
Yeah, but like, I don't want to say blowjob.
Dick and balls. Dick in your mouth.
This is not...
Handjob. What is this?
This wasn't like some kind of filthy charades. Okay.
Sir.
What, Tucker? What? Can I help you?
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.